an hour, you will hear the Radio Hall of Fame presentation of Winter's Head with Burgess Meredith. Whenever you have occasion to send a card, remember a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The Hallmark Charlotte Greenwood Show. And here she is, that lovable lady of stage, screen, and radio, Charlotte Greenwood.
Story about three children who find that what seems to be the hard way of getting on is really the easy way.
Do you mean if you really want to get ahead, you got to work for it? Do you?
But very definitely, Mr. Parker.
Oh, that's what I thought.
You've got to work hard for it against all odds.
Well, I can see you're not the kind of woman who drifts with the tide, Mrs. Greenwood.
No, I'm still stuck with the untied. And it isn't Mrs. Greenwood, it's Miss Greenwood.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry.
Greenwood is brought to you this Sunday and every Sunday at this time by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards to remind you that whenever you want to remember someone, you'll find a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say the way you want to say it. So when you choose a card, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Yes, don't forget, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. And now the little town of Lakeview, where Aunt Charlotte is raising the three Boston youngsters, little Robert and teenage Barbara and Jack. It's early afternoon. The children are off to school, and Aunt Charlotte is just about to go shopping when the phone rings.
Hello?
Too big and a pair of slacks 8 inches too short. And in that big box.
Something for me? And Miss Stewart?
No, dear. It's the Winnicott Barbara.
Ah, you always find presents for them.
Well, they're not presents, Robert. They're for school. And right now, you don't need anything for school.
I need a new teacher for school. That crabby old Miss Murray doesn't like me. Thinks I'm dumb.
Oh, I see. Miss Murray is your arithmetic teacher, isn't she?
And she says she might even put me back a class.
She's awful. Robert, arithmetic is hard for you. So you say to yourself, Miss Murray doesn't like me. She might put me back a grade. Now, it's all her fault.
Sure it is.
But you don't see, Robert, that it isn't a question of her not liking you. You're not giving her the right answers. Teachers must get the right answers. You're trying to excuse yourself by saying she doesn't like you.
Oh, I'll cry, Aunt Charlotte. Honest, I will.
Don't say you'll cry, Robert. Say you'll do it.
Oh, I'll try. I mean, I'll do it. But didn't you buy anything for me? Anything at all?
Bless your heart. Come here, Robert, and sit on my lap.
Thank you, Wilbur. You sit on anybody's lap.
You are? Robert, you haven't forgotten, have you?
What?
What's your Aunt Charlotte's best bowl?
Oh, my Aunt Charlotte? Well, honest?
The sweetest and bestest bowl that Aunt Charlotte ever had. Of course, you haven't had very many.
Oh. I'll bet you have. In the movies, anyway.
I did get Jack Opie once, but that was like catching a balloon. Oh, but we made a charming couple, a balloon tied to a long piece of string.
Well, if it weren't for school, we could go and sit next to high school football.
Football? Now, that's a wonderful idea. You could be a quarterback and call out the signals to me.
Yeah. 6, 9, 2, 5, 11.
Now, draw a line and add up those figures.
Oh, I got that. Where's that, Charles?
That's right, Robert. We've got to kick that arithmetic for a goal. Now, you've got to study hard and begin your education.
Why do I have to study so hard, Aunt Charlotte? Because why?
Because it's a key, Robert. Education is the key that unlocks the door to understand the past and the present. And it's the key that will one day unlock the door to the future. I want you to have that key. My, that's strange.
What, Aunt Charlotte?
That roast lamb smells exactly like fish.
Jack Barton, don't y'all remember poor little me?
Huh?
Well, Del Withers, who used to work with you all in that big real estate office.
Oh, Southern, aren't you?
Uh-huh. Virginia, the land of moonlight and magnolia.
Crazy driver.
Oh, I do declare, Mr. Barton, I owe my whole life to you.
Oh, that's all right, Miss Jack.
Just call me Clarabelle. Where are y'all working now, Jack?
Oh, I'm not working. I'm in high school.
Oh, well, I suppose school's all right. But it just takes years and years before a fella can ever even think of getting married.
Well, you're married? God. Oh, good heavens, that was taken at the Princeton Theater in Boston. That's where I met Sylvester. He was a doorman there.
Dad, is that Sylvester?
That's Sylvester, all right.
And is this the same store?
That's your Aunt Charlotte.
Wow. Sylvester says if you want to know how long ago this was taken, it takes in the back.
Well, rub it out.
How long took it, Samuel?
Barbara, where is that?
Oh, probably over at Janet Gregory's. He weird. Oh, is that anything better to do than run after girls?
Yes, catch them.
Well, that man on the telephone again is on his way over to see you.
Robert,
maybe you'd better come out and
listen
and have a
listen. Yes, right back inside. Now, what are you two up to now?
Oh, Charlotte, I want to ask you a question.
Hmm?
Am I at least a little bit pretty.
Oh, darling, I think you're very pretty. Soft brown hair and big brown eyes and what a lovely smile.
Well, then why doesn't... I mean, why doesn't somebody tell me?
Oh, you mean somebody in particular?
Remember, Mrs. Taylor, who was here several weeks ago? That nice Marine.
Oh, how can you ever forget a Marine?
Really, if fine boy.
That's just it. He's only 20, but he isn't a boy. He's all grown up.
Yeah, I grew up at 20.
At 25, I added experience. At 30, I stopped to reflect. And at 35, I say I've gone far enough in this direction.
I've written heaps and heaps into what I could say at college, and twice he's driven down to see me, but he just treats me as though I were a child. Oh, Aunt Charlotte, I'm miserable.
Oh, come on now, Barbara, come on.
But well, how would you be feeling when you're the type men forget?
Oh, I'm feeling fine.
Oh, there's Jack. Well, what are you looking so dreamy about?
Magnolias white under the moon, the various decks in pallid festive bloom, and there, waiting and waiting and waiting to stir.
Sounds like a biography of Greenwood.
Oh, Jack Barton, you and your silly old poetry. I'm going up and put on my smokiest dress. A friend of Aunt Charlotte's coming. And who knows? It might be Jimmy Stewart.
It might be. He used to drive over and drop off Slim Somerville, and then he'd drive on.
Jack, there are the clothes you need for school.
Oh, honey. Aunt Charlotte, when a man saves a girl's life, say from being run over,
doesn't it sort of obligate him?
If it did, I'd have lain in the middle of Fifth Avenue long ago.
Aunt Charlotte, what makes Southern girls so irresistible?
You can't do the accent. I tried there.
And, Charlotte, I've been thinking, though. I shouldn't have gone back to school. Maybe I should have gone on working in that real estate office.
At the end of 15 years, be right back where you started?
Well, you didn't go to college.
No, I didn't have the opportunity. I had to work. And at 15, I was in the back row of a chorus.
Well, you were a success, and you haven't slipped back.
I couldn't slip back. You can't get any further back than the back drop. I started out against the back wall of a theater, and the only way I could go was forward.
I've got another whole year of high school, and after that, years of college.
Jack, all through the years of working for success in the theater, I had to study and educate myself. I took no rules to make up for the few years I should have spent at school. But that doesn't have to happen to you, son.
We'll talk about that later. Now, shall we?
All right, Sylvester, bring on that lamb that I've been waiting for.
We're not having anything ordinary like that.
Not lamb, Addie?
Look what I caught for you all by myself.
Oh, you caught that, Robert? But what is it?
I'm really nervous before I landed it.
Well, perhaps you shouldn't have caught quite so long.
Who
could possibly want lamb when you got a cat pig?
Oh, I'm sorry. The best of my work over for hours.
From the way it cuts, I'll be doing that too. Roger, but how can I? As a favor.
Charlotte,
Mr. Johnson,
Mrs. Anderson won't have anyone but
you
for the
part.
You're a star with John Payne and Jim Hoover.
Now, of course,
what's
John Payne?
It's a fine part, Charlotte.
You know, it's strange, Roger, but I'm playing the most satisfying part I ever had, just being Aunt Charlotte.
Oh, but it's a magnificent script. From the novel, The Enchanted Voice.
I love the book. It ought to make a wonderful picture.
Then you'll accept Mrs. Anderson's offer. He wants you to go to Hollywood tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Why, Mickey and I are in absolute crisis.
Oh, does Mickey know anything about his end of the crisis?
Charlotte, you can't go. I want you to meet Charlotte.
Charlotte, you have a contract for 1.5 million. In October, you can't
refuse. Charlotte, you're not going to leave us. You said I was your best friend. Who are you?
Sorry,
about the
wife,
Mrs. Anderson.
Why, Mrs. Anderson, my son. I'll leave for Hollywood tomorrow.
Now, Sam, before I go, I know you're all the same. Go on, go ahead.
Congratulating that new bride and groom. Or select several distinctive anniversary cards for those special married couples that you've always liked to remember. If some friend is ill, you won't want to neglect him above all. Wish him well with a Hallmark cheer card. It's a sure cure for those hospital blues. Remember, there is always a Hallmark card that says just what you want to say and the way you want to say it. So choose yours from your Hallmark dealer's wide selection this week. Hallmark cards are on display at America's finest stores. You see, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Hollywood and the Martin household, including Sylvester, is sunk in gloom. And Charlotte says,
Sylvester, you don't look very happy.
Well, I'm just a plan to find that, Mr. Greenwood. When a fine fact comes along.
Yes, but besides that, Sylvester, when I heard the children's protest last night and read what was in that
document,
I don't
know
what to do.
Certainly,
Mr. Greenwood. There's something else they need a
great deal
more.
Yes, Mr. Greenwood. But all this ain't going to be easy for you.
Well, let's not think that's easy for me. Let's think of the children and what's best for them. I'd like you to look after the children for a week or two, Sylvester, and if you need me, I can be back here by train in a few hours.
Never spent much time around children, Miss Greenwood. Can't help Robert much with his arithmetic. Can't make sense out of Jack's talk about moonlight and magnolias. Wishing he was working instead of going to school. And, Miss Greenwood, there's Barbara. Looking around so that Mr. Taylor thinks he's still a child. So long, Miss Greenwood. So long.
Oh, yes, you do know, Sylvester. Those are only the usual problems of youth. And we must understand them, even if we have passed the age of moonlight and magnolias.
Passed? Moonlight and magnolias, Miss Greenwood?
Come to think of it, I'm still waiting for them.
Hello, Clarabelle.
Oh, Bart, is that you all?
Oh, I just got to see you, Clarabelle. I've written a poem about you.
Oh, about me? I just died to hear that little old jingle.
Oh, well, I'll pick you up at the office in half an hour at 5 o'clock.
Honey.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've
got to
hang up now.
Bye,
honey.
Bye. Yeah, will you go to the station and pick up my tickets for the train?
Oh, sure, Aunt Charlotte. I'll go after them right away.
Yeah, but they won't hold them after 5 o'clock.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, I was just talking to Clarabelle in there.
Uh-huh. She's the magnolia in the moonlight, huh?
Yeah. Oh, gee, Aunt Charlotte, she's super. She's the dreamiest flip chick I ever met.
You mean she's a snazzer gooberini?
Thanks, Jackson. Is Clarabelle the reason that you want to quit school and go back to work?
Well, sort of.
Clarabelle's getting pretty interested in me.
And Jack, if she were really interested in you, she'd want you to finish school and she'd want you to have a profession.
Oh, no, Charlie, you just don't understand.
My understanding's a long-standing. Even when I was a little girl with little understanding, I looked long-standing. Jack, I do understand.
Looking so droopy about.
Oh, Aunt Charlotte, men are terrible. I never want to speak to another one.
I know, at least until tomorrow. Mr. Taylor?
Uh-huh. I phoned him, and then I asked him to come to see me after school today. I tried to act grown up, but he just won't take me seriously.
Well, Audrey, you didn't tell him that you think you're in love with him.
Why, what do you think I am? I wouldn't run after any man.
Well, no, you just write him a letter every day, and you telephone him every minute.
Oh, my whole life's a mess, Aunt Charlotte. Won't you take me to Hollywood with you, please?
But you're just starting college.
You could get Miss Rosanna to give me a pass. There must be somebody in the picture who's miserable and maybe gets killed.
Yes, but when the director yells, cut, you'd be alive again and just as miserable.
Oh, but maybe I could become a big star like you. Then Mrs. Noah, I'm no Charles. And then I loved him.
Father, if you do love Mr. Taylor, don't spoil it by going after him. Wait. And let him come to you. That's the only way it can mean anything.
Well,
and in the meantime, if it could be Mr. Taylor, he'll watch you and guard you tenderly, and pretty soon he won't think of you as a...
As a child?
No, not as a child. He'll think of you as a fine young woman that you are.
They were paid for.
Yes, but somebody else picked them up.
But this couldn't be a conspiracy to keep me in late.
Oh, no, honest, Aunt
Charlotte. Oh, I know. I'll have to stand on the road with my thumb in the air. And at that altitude, I might be picked up by a plane.
Oh,
you know,
General Dinnerbury,
the man you didn't have last night on the paper waiting for you.
But, thank you, Sylvester. Well, wait a minute. Robert should be along now. He was to stop by the cleaners for my gloves. But where is he? Robert, is that you?
Yes, Aunt Charlotte, it's me.
Why, Robert, you're all wet and muddy. Have you been down to the river again?
And what are you doing with that old rusty tin can?
Robert, did you remember to get my gloves?
Your gloves?
Yes, my white gloves. They didn't go down to the river, too, did they?
Well, sort of.
Sort of?
I didn't have a float for my fishing line. And...
Oh, Robert, you didn't use Aunt Charlotte's gloves.
Oh, no. They were a couple of fingers off the left hand.
Sorry,
Aunt Charlotte. I wish you didn't have to go. We all need you,
children.
Last evening, when Martha Hilton told me about Mona Sandifores, I looked around into your faces, and I listened to what you had to say. And then I knew I must go to Hollywood.
Oh, God, I got it. I sure wish you could go with me.
That's just it. You children remember the little sparrow's nest that was outside of my window last spring? Three little birds were born in that nest. Their parents fed them and kept them warm and protected them. And then one day, when they were quite grown, the mother bird pushed them from the nest. But she stood by and watched them while they tested their wings.
But don't you, Charlotte? We weren't sparrows.
No, darling. But that's what you say must be now. Protect your wings. Just wait. You, Barbara, you, Jack, and you too, Robert. Because if you never test your wings, you never learn how to claw.
But I, Miss Springwood, don't know if I can keep these sparrows from going ka-plunk on the ground.
No, Sylvester, I know they won't go ka-plunk.
Oh, of course we won't.
You know, Charlotte's right. It is about time we learned how to take care of ourselves.
But we're still going to miss you, Charlotte. Please, maybe you'll get married and we'll come back. Ha-ha!
Fine chance against those Hollywood beauties.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'd met you against Lamour, Grable, Garson, and all the rest of them. Yeah. Any time.
Yeah, I could compete with them if they'd come out and fight.
Remind you the next time you buy a card for any occasion to look on the back for the identifying words a Hallmark card. H-A-L-L-M-A-R-K. A Hallmark card. Like sterling on silver, those three words are your assurance of finest quality. You see, it is quality that has maintained Hallmark leadership for more than 30 years because
Hallmark quality tells your friends you cared enough to send the very best.
That's why it's so important to look for the Hallmark name on the back of the card you buy. For always remember,
a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness.
And now, Charlotte Greenwood.
Friends, the mailman has asked me to tell all of you who have relatives, sweethearts, and husbands overseas that if you want them to receive their Christmas packages on time, and of course you do, they must be mailed by October 15th. That's a week from Monday. Christmas cards for overseas must be put in the mailbox by November 15th. The earlier, the better. For although the fighting has ended and the drums of war are through, there's still a debt of gratitude that's owed by me and you. And our dear ones who'll spend Christmas underneath a foreign sky will be lonelier than ever as these months of peace roll by. They'll be yearning for their home folks as they work and hope and wait. And they'll think that they're forgotten if their Christmas mail is late. So mail those cards and bundles now to far-off ships and camps. Our boys have licked the enemy. Now let's all lick those stamps.
Son.